Ron Dockyard, and we're at the Mishnah, and we're missing our dear Sabbah Josh, who apparently was hospitalized, and so I'll have to do the honors. Zokta Helika Mishnah. HaOmer, we've just finished now the explanation of the first part of the Mishnah, which was the long list of Yadot that we had in the opening part of the Mishnah with which the Masechet began. And we're now going to move on to the Kinuyim. And this Mishnah has a list of Kinuyim. So HaOmer Konem or Konech or Kones, somebody says that a piece of bread should be a Konem on him, or should be a Konech on him, or a Kones on him. These are all Kinuyim to the equivalent term, which would be a hatfasa, which is korban. We know we've been using korban as the primary neder. And I mentioned to you at the beginning of the Masechet that according to the Ran, hatfasa is only one of two possibilities of ikar neder. And that an ikar neder can be made by saying directly, this thing is asr on me, and that is an ikar neder. Whereas according to some Rishonim, only hatfasa, which means I take something which the Torah has defined its halachas as being asr, such as a korban, that thing itself being creatable by language, areze korban, that's a given. And I can then extend that concept into Isurim and say this is like a korban. So kick korban. So say konim, it's the equivalent of saying this is the equivalent of a korban on me. And that even if you don't use that, then even though it's an osir, it's not ikar neder. Maybe an extension of the concept of nedar, maybe through a yad, possibly diorite, or possibly gezeris, but that's not what's called ikar neder. And again, remember that hatfasa can only be in something which you can use language to create. You can't be matfis in a piece of pork, you know, and say, this shall be chazer to me. It's ridiculous. Well, why would it be chazer to you? So it's language, it's clearly language, be'etzem, that is the koach of the creation of the Yisr here, and therefore anything which the Torah defines as having been made usr through language becomes the makar of hatfasa ben neder. Because of that, because of the centrality of language to the entire concept of nedorim, Kinuyim, obviously, is going to lead us into an examination of the various subcategories of language. So we get into issues of creoles and pidgins, constructed languages, slangs, and so on and so forth. And these are really the issues that the Gemara touches upon. The sugyas over here are extremely complex because they require, first of all, a lot of historical data that we don't have about the particular words that are used. Very complex machlokas in about what type of degeneration is involved in elements of kinuyim. And it's also extremely technical. Linguistics is a very, very complex subject. And to deal with these figures just on a surface level, we can have Dr. Spolsky take over at this point, perhaps, and deal with the linguistic elements. But we'll try to just zip through it, with at least raising the issues as to what it is that the Mishnayos and the Gemara is interested in and exploring. So we'll see, of course, right away in the Gemara, what exactly these terms are, where do they come from? Konim, konech, kones. I mean, it's clear that there's some kind of vague relationship to the term korban over here. And they do seem like degenerate terms, like somebody who doesn't know how to speak may ultimately end up with the word konim instead of korban, if you keep slurring your words. And so we call these kinuyim. If you say... actually, what's interesting is that a lot of these terms seem indeed to be based on written, on a dyslexic breakdown of the words. Because we often have a reversal of letters. And as the Rishonim point out, there's no clear cut. There's no, like, you could substitute ayin for gimel or anything like that. It's just weird type of inversions, substitutions. So they're not necessarily oral. They may
have very little text. I mean, in general, reading text.
No, that's not true. No, not at all. Not, certainly not among the Jewish population. Don't confuse. I mean, remember that we basically are 100% literate people for thousands of years. The only nation on earth, essentially, that has been literate for thousands, that universal literacy for thousands of years. Assuming you don't include women. that's not really true. That's for Shalom. It's not really true. I mean, they always knew how to... No, thank you. Chazal weren't Kovea schools for women. But nonetheless, everybody still knew how to daven and so on and so on. Those were givens always. Okay, so konim, kone, konis. Those are kinuyim lekorban. Cherek, cherech, cheref are kinuyim lecherem. Nazik, naziach, paziach are elo kinuyim lenizirut. Shivuta, shekuka. Or a guy says, and this part is weird, no der b'muhi. Now, muhi is mo, which is Moshe. People go, Moshe, mo. You know, so they go, if somebody makes a neder with mo, So then that's considered to be a kinoit for a shvua, which, I mean, you just said nadar b'muri. That this part is very weird. We're going to need to get to the Gemara to explain that a little bit. But we do know that, again, in the same parsha, this is all in the parsha tashavua that we've learned before, that we have vayoel Moshe l'shevet ta'isha. We have the first commitment level that is apparently a type of shvua to an individual is made by Moshe, not to do a thing, but general behavior. So I commit myself vayoel. Okay, what exactly are these languages? So idma. Says the Gemara, we have a machlokas, which we touched upon briefly earlier. Kinuyim Rabbi Yochanan alashon umotein. And as the Ram points out way back in the beginning of the Masechta, obviously Rabbi Yochanan is not coming to say that I'm going to make you a list of all various languages' word for neder or carbon. That's ridiculous. I mean, they just say neder b'cholashin, or is it neder? But what Rabbi Yochanan is talking about is degenerate terms that have been now absorbed by the umes as accepted in their language. So if you're talking about kibitzing or kosher or things like that, so they have also words for carbon. I mean, there's no such word as kosher. But it sounds something like kasher. And we understand that the meaning is kosher, right? I mean, it's, in Hebrew, kosher would mean, what kind of physical condition you're in. What's your kosher? It's nothing to do with food or eating. But in English, kosher means kasher in Hebrew. So too, these words are degenerate terms. But it's clear what the reference is. We understand where they were absorbed. And therefore, we list those terms which are not really part of English. Kosher is not an English word. So koning is not a Latin word. But nonetheless, people may use it when speaking Latin. So again, in the vernacular, literally, it would be the equivalent of carbon, even though nobody knows exactly, it doesn't have any roots in that language itself. So it isn't really Lashon Umais. It's degenerate Hebrew, which has been absorbed in Lashon Umais. According to Rav Shimon ben Lakish, what we're talking about is a constructed language. There's lots of, we're certainly familiar in literature with a lot of constructed languages. I mean, anybody who's read Lord of the Rings notes it's an entire grammar, it's an entire etymology, and so on, of where terms come from, in Elvish and so on. These are constructed languages. Now, there's artificially constructed languages for purposes of international communications, which have been tried many times, like Esperanto and many, many other ones, even less successful. But basically, what has happened over here is that Chazal took certain terms, which were similar enough, and had been, according to the Rishonim, had been in use to some extent. If you take a look in the Rush, which I think is worthwhile over here, Lashon Shebadu Lahem Chachamim, the closing Rush on the page, which we're going to see later on. And basically, as the Navi says, the people that were in Galut Babel, as the people who live nowadays in Borough Park, they can't speak to save their lives. They speak some kind of, forget Borough Park, I mean, you go to speak any yeshiva b'okhrit, he doesn't speak any language, right? He speaks a type of gibberish, which is called yeshivish. No, so the Navi makes fun of this. What the heck is wrong with them? And how are you supposed to communicate with God if you can't even communicate? You're supposed to think. You don't even have words. So that's part of what the Navi makes fun of the breakdown in Yisrael. It's a horrific degeneracy with language degeneracy. It means everything is degenerate. All your cultural concepts, all of your Nisar, everything is degenerate. So the question is whether somebody come along and talk about a korban. What's a korban? It's something to do with korban. All right, so this became now. I mean, my father's Zatzal tells me over a story it was right here. Mom is right here in Eitz Chaim. So he was sitting, and the Rebbe is talking to a kid in Yiddish and talking about Yaakov's ladder, right? So vayasulam, just he's sitting there, and unerot gezen a letter. So the child says, Mazel letter, Sulam. Ah, Sulam! So he went from Sulam to letter to Sulam. Oh, Sulam! This is exactly so Chazal Rekovea. You could actually use these words and pretend that it really means carbon, even though it doesn't mean carbon. It's a question whether it's Yerzik Kriya Satir already. I don't know. I mean, has some vague. I mean, if you listen carefully and you're looking inside, you can understand that what the guy is reading has some type of parallel in the actual pasuk. I don't know, but that's about it. I mean, I'm sure you've heard leanings like that. It's absolutely maddening. So the question is that a language before? So it says Reish Lakish, It's not a language, but this is how the Russians understanding it. It's not that they made it up out of nothing. But since Lo Hayu Bekiyim Ledaber Ivrit, they didn't know how to talk. So they were Medaberim Behem, they would take these terms and think that they were speaking Hebrew, but it had nothing to do with Hebrew, really. So Chazal took these terms, V'tiknu otam l'kinuyim. V'lo b'shvil she'elu ha'otiyot krovim l'lashon yoter mishar otiyot. It's not that we're really looking for some type of code in which you can substitute for a resh, a nun, or something else. There's no such thing. There's no such rule. It's simply a matter of historical coincidence. It happened to be that this is the way that it degenerated. And so Chazal accepted the uses of degenerate terminology as if it were a language. So there, as the Ran is Kovea back at the beginning of the Masechta, it wouldn't make sense to say that this is any worse. Yeah, Shabbat Josh isn't here today, maybe instead of just. So it wouldn't be any worse to have a constructed language than to have an actual language. Why is it any different? Okay, that was his yesod at the beginning. Now, the problem is that at the end of Rish Lakish's statement comes a very strange line, which in fact some Girso don't have. The Shita says it shouldn't be here. Now, for Rish Lakish to be bringing a raya that his word is a usable word, and I'll prove to you that, yes, that I was right in using the word Bodu, because it says about Yeravam that when he wanted to make an alternative, I mean, he figured we'd substitute Christmas for Sukkot, you know. That way they don't have to go to that old Beit HaMikdash. We always have our new celebration. So he made a celebration in the eighth month. Okay, so it says in the month Asher Badami Libo. And what in the world is Reish Lakish trying to do over here by saying Yeravam Asher Badami Libo? This Tosfos says this is weird, like this never occurs, that an Amorish bring a riot to his words, right? But it could be that the way that the Rosh is understanding the nature of the Bodu Lehem Chachamim, that Reish Lakish is trying to say that we are not talking about a constructed language out of nothing. We're talking about the utilization of an idea and transference, which is what it was talking about in Yeravam. So I'm not talking about Asher Himtziu. He wasn't mamtzi it out of nothing. So we see that the word bada is to utilize a given concept, but with corruption. So move it over for the seventh month or the eighth month, and so on, and then call it a chodesh Shamatami Libo. So it's the new holiday. What do they call that, black holiday now in the States?
Kwanzaa.
Okay, so you have a new Christmas, whatever, right? Kwanzaa, whatever. All right, so here too was Asher Bada. Therefore, Reish Lakish may be merames in this. I'm using the word bada very advisedly, the same way the Torah uses it to define the holiday that Yeravam made up. I think that's a possible useful explanation of the word. Now, why in any event, time mamai takinu rabbanan kinuyim, why in the world would there be a point in making a kinuy b'chlal, accepting a kinuy? What's wrong with just using words the way they're meant to be used? Because, you see, the lo lema korban, we're trying to avoid using the word korban. Ah, come on. The lema korban, that's like saying you can't say ginger ale. I mean, why can't you say korban? No, dimoma korban la'ashem. So, what's so bad about saying korban la'ashem? V'lema korban la'ashem. Because what if you would say la'ashem korban? And then you would get a telephone call between the la'ashem and the korban. Now, obviously, you'd answer the phone. I mean, nobody lets the phone ring, right? So then that would have meant you would have said la'ashem, and you never would have said korban. So then you would have had a yeshem ha'ashem levatalah hanging over there while you're talking on your call. By the time you finish your call, you forget the korban part. So now we've just got a la'ashem. So in order to avoid situations, if you won't say korban, the kombafik shem shamayim levatalah, in order to avoid that, they figured, okay, you know what? Use other terminology. The other terminology will not lead you naturally to say words that you used to say because of the pasuk. I mean, in fact, korban Hashem is a pasuk. Same thing is true by shvua. Right? Shvua Hashem tiyeh ben shneihem. Or you have cherem. Cherem la Hashem. Okay, so that means that the person naturally, so if I'm using that word, I start thinking of it in terms of the mikra, so I'll say, well, Hashem korban. So because we don't want that to happen, we take another word. You use that other word, then there's no natural tendency to say anything. The Ran has got a little bit of a problem, because as we're going to see, the word cherem does not mean the same thing in all locations. Because if you're in Yehuda, so then cherem indeed means, by definition, a cherem to coin. So in Yehuda, you'd have to say, specifically, this is a cherem la Hashem, or this is a cherem for the Berek HaBayit, not to say, in order for it not to be charme koani. In the Galil, they used to mean it bedafka as like their sense of kedusha. So then, how are you saving anything if you're going to have to say anyway it's la'ashem? So what's going to save you from saying la'ashem if it's cherem? So again, the Ran says because it's just a function of association. If you say cherem, there's nothing that leads you to say la'ashem. I mean, say cherem la'berek abayin. But if you say Cherem, since it reminds you of the Pasuk, you'll say Cherem LaHashem. So therefore, even though you're going to have to say more, but it's a different more that you'll say.
This Masechta Daf, Rabbi gave the introduction on with the mess up in the words because it was not necessarily used. It's in the Masechta itself. So it's what you're the Masechta itself, the language is very different than normal Bible.
Yeah, that is interesting. Yeah. Vitanya, we know how bad that would be because Reb Shimon explained that that's what's going to happen if you say Karban using the word Hashem. Minayin shelo yomar adam laHashem ola, laHashem mincha, laHashem toda, laHashem shlamim. Talmud lomar Korban laHashem. Why does the Torah over here say to make a Korban laHashem instead of saying laHashem Korban? Because we're afraid if you use the Shem first, you may end up using just the shame and accidentally leaving out the korban. If in a case where a person is only coming out to be b'chayiv himself for shame shemayim and say a korban lashem, nonetheless the Torah goes out of its way to reverse the words in order to make it clear to us that we shouldn't mention the word shame before we say korban, because otherwise we may end up with a shame levatala. So can you imagine levatala lachat kamave kamam, and how careful we have to be that there shouldn't be the use of the shame Hashem levatala. In any event, let us say that the machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan and Reb Shlakish is actually a machlokas tanoi. Let me get tanoi. Are kinuyim a constructed language? Are kinuyim a corrupted form of Hebrew that has been absorbed into other languages? That seems to be a machlokas between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. Beit Shammai rim kinuye kinuyin asurim, uBeit Hillel rim kinuye kinuyin mutarim. Now, we know that there were terms that became the normal kinuyim that we list, and then we find corruptions of those terms themselves, b'mrutzat hazman. So as time went on, people would change the forms of those terms. So instead of it being, let's say, a noun, they would turn it into some type of active form, in which instead of there being a konim, there could be a mikanmana, you know. I'm going to really konim it up. Weird ways, which of course occurs in every language. But over here, the initial term wasn't really part of the language. The question is, are kinuy kinuyim considered to be usher or not? So Beit Shammai says, yes, they're usher. Beit Hillel and kinuyei kinuyim are not usher. They're mutter completely. So my love, I would assume that they're not focused. And mind you, my kinuyei kinuyin asurin kasava kinuyin lashon umote. If you're telling me that kinuyim are not a constructed language, so then, what's the difference? How many stages of degeneracy something went through? I mean, bottom line is the way people talk nowadays, if they're talking in whatever language the kinuy comes from. So what's the difference? I mean, it's just a historical development. If we were ready to accept the Lashon Umot, that's corruptions, so why can't we accept corruptions of corruptions? Masha Inkin, if you hold like Beit Hillel, that kinuyei kinuyin are mutarim, manam are mutarim, apparently, kasav lashon shebadula and chachamim. Whatever language the chachamim were koveya as a construct, that's a language. Well, you can't have the degenerate form of a construct and say that that too is a language. The whole point over here is that it's a constructed language, and therefore a takona, whatever the takona was, stands, whatever wasn't, doesn't stand. So, which is strange, and we have machlokas Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, and then comes along now, Darius later, and the Ofer Rish Lakish arguing that. Is that true? Is there or no? Of course not. Actually, what we could say is that really, Kulei Alma holds Kinuyim are Lashon Umot, if that's what you hold. So, Beit Shammai Savri Bahani Nami Mishtai Umot. Beit Hillel Savri Bahani Lo Mishtai Umot. There comes to be a question, and I mean, obviously, this is the type of thing that people fight over ad hayom. What do you include in a dictionary? The question over here is, what forms of degenerate language are included in the primary language? That's an issue. If the koach of neder is the koach of language, then it's essential that we determine what level we include as language. And again, lage safa may not be language at all. Certainly, asher boder lehem, if it means lage safa like the Rosh, we can understand that if you have a degenerate English, and say you have a pidgin. So, I mean, a pidgin language, is that you're calling that a language? I mean, the same thing, I mean, people look down at Creoles. It's just recently that now there's, you know, there's this this movement, liberal movement, to give the full language status to Creole languages and so on.
English.
Hmm?
Like English.
Like English. Okay. See? Here you go. We have our ultimate liberal right here. My gosh, there's another guy in this show that claims that labor unions should be given the right to strike. In any event, So here too, the Gemara is questioning, therefore, what do we consider to be, what do we consider to be inclusive in a language? Beis Hillel says this is not called, the fact that you'll find people speaking this, maybe as a pidgin, doesn't make it a language. And Beit Shammai holds that the language is broader and inclusive of this as well. Or it could be that everybody agrees, actually, that this is not considered to be valid lashon. It's just that Beit Shammai holds that we have to be gozer kinuya kinuya mishum kinuyi. We cannot give over into the hands of people to determine what language is, because it's a complex subject. And if people will see that a particular thing that they confuse, they think, okay, it's a slang, so then what's going to be the difference between a kinoi, kinoi, and a kinoi? Ah, it's all slang, it's not really good language, I made a matter, I won't even, no problem. So if we'll be mater kinoi, kinoi, they'll come to be mater kinoi as well. Therefore, what's it saying, mikra adin, perhaps whether it's us, or maybe all Beit Shammai was saying, is that it's a gzera. It was basically, oh, sabri, lo gazini, kinoi, kinoi, mishum kinoi. And therefore, we do not necessarily have to say that the Machlokas, Reish Lakish, and Rabbi Yochanan has anything to do with the Machlokas, Beis Shammai, and Bittah, in either direction.
So he has to keep to what he said.
We force him to treat it as if it were a netter, despite the fact that it may be, technically speaking, it does not have the power of language to create Yisrael. But again, remember that the way that the Torah introduces the elements of netter is with the word kiyafli. Ish kiyafli minno netter nozel lahazir. So that hafla'ah has something to do with the nature of clarity in language. So the whole question of kinuyim opens up a can of worms in terms of how things that don't mean clearly in any type of realistic cultural setting, what they're supposed to mean, how could they have the power of creating these sermons that they're in the system? We'll see more about this later on. By the way, there would also be naftaminas between the Yochanan and Reish Lakish that the Rishonim bring in terms of the universality of the application of these terms. Because the halacha that you can use another language is only local. You cannot use a language that means nothing locally and say, but I understand that language. That doesn't mean anything. A language, if it's Lashon HaKodesh, fine, then it's considered to be universal. But if you're trying to make a netter has to be a culturally acceptable netter.
Where it was made.
Like
a French slang netter.
Then it won't be a good netter. Mashenkin, if you hold it's Lashon Shabbat or Lechachomim, then it's a constructed language, then it works anywhere. Because it isn't meant to be a cultural language. Okay, again, this raises questions. It's not so partial, therefore, what the Ran is saying. Why is their language worse than any other? But it's better. I think it's better. You're saying that they can create a universally accepted terminology because we say so. I mean, but nobody knows what you're talking about. The guy in the street has no idea what these words mean because he didn't learn Maseches Nedarim. So because of that, it's going to be as good as the local language? Is that so partial? And Ron takes it as a given. Never partial. Okay, continues the Gemara. Hechi dami kinuyei kinuyim b'nidarim. Now, again, when we're talking about hechi dami, what we're talking about is a degenerate language that actually happened. In other words, otherwise, we don't need hechi dummies. I mean, let anybody be a dummy and sit there and say hechi dummy. I mean, you want to make up some kind of weird term, make up whatever term you want. These are actual historical examples of the way that words were being used and that can only fit if you hold kinuyim kinuyim marasuri. So Tani Rav Yosef, and again, as the Rishonim point out, these are Kabbalists that Rav Yosef had, information that had come to him that these were words that people were using. They are all the active forms of the words that appear in the Mishnah as nouns. So that we have Mekanmana for Konin, or Mekanchana for Konach, or Mekansana for Konas. So these are like the way that you find very often today, a noun takes on some type of verbal slang and becomes very hip. You know? We're now going to actualize things. So it's exactly the way that these kinuyim were used. Or kinuy kinuyim b'cherem, so mafsha, was the name of the Tana, it says. You could have charakim, charakim, charafim. So the breakdown in charonim was to turn it into a set of things. Kinuy kinuyim b'zeziras is really weird. So in Rav Yosef here too, it's active, but it's mip chazana, machaskana, manaskana, mapichana, mexicana. No, that one doesn't. Iboilu. Just want to see if you're on your toes. What about other terms that are in use that do not appear in your list? Mipchazana. If we take the same type of construct, so the mit chazana would be the same. The mit chazana, mit azana ma. Where omalei ravina ravashi, I got a cute one for you. I mean, people say kinma. So it's kinma could mean konen, because it's a breakdown of the word konen, but it's also a breakdown of the word for cinnamon. Maybe the guy is saying cinnamon, you know? Wow, kinman bosa. He just doesn't know how to talk. So, I mean, odilva kinman bosa kama. Omalei vachabarei ravina ravashi. Well, same thing with kina. They can say kina as konen, but he may also be referring to a lul shel tarnagolet, which is also chicken coop, 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 instead of kina for koning. So, I mean, what about if you have now kinuyim that could also be clearly words that are in use for other things? I mean, does that lose the power of the koning because it's no longer miyuchad for neder? Maybe kina shel tarnagolet koma, odim alash of the koning. In all of the above, we leave these questions hanging. These, okay, so again, lashon of nedarim we make over chumra, but in terms of our knowing that this is actual neder to be mechuyav on, we don't have any right. Kinuyim de shvua hechidami? Well, shvua could be shvuel, shvutiel, shekukael. Well, shvuel. That's not a good language for a shvua, because shvuel is actually the name of a person. Shvuel is referred to in the pasuk as shvuel ben Gershom ben Moshe, right? It was the maskir. But in fact, he becomes a dugma for doing tshuva. But so his other name was Menashe. Remember, he appears as Menashe, or as Shavuel is called Shavuel. The Gemara says because he was Shav El Bechol Libo. And we talked about him in the tshuva. But in any event, we don't make a shvua by using a guy's name. So then we go saying by Moses. You know, so it's like a guy says Jesus Christ. What does that mean? So Lahavdil saying, "Wow, Shavuel." What's that supposed to mean? You mention the name of some Jewish carpenter, well, all of a sudden it's going to be a name.
Something like swearing is.
Swearing is not swearing, exactly. How can you swear by swearing? That's very interesting. That there's a perception that means the same thing, which, by the way, is related to the question that we raised earlier about a guy who uses a lashon of klala. Right? And we're talking about nidui. Nidui. Cherem, and then we had over here, what about elements of klala? So, that sometimes when a bezin will put you into nidui, we just watch in klala and said, welcome that there's a nidui as well. How about if a guy is watching klala? So that is, we call that in English, we call that swearing, but we don't mean swearing in the sense of accepting upon yourself the burden of the commitment. Right? It's very interesting. So there's a sense of hatlah, jumping out of your normal usage of words, of trying to say something really powerful. The question is powerful and what? Powerful to what? So it may be an expletive, it may be something that I want, but it's also lahafli. I'm trying to say something that goes beyond my normal ability to convey my outrage, my anger, or my commitments. But if I would just use the word shivuel, it's not the derech to say I'm gonna make a commitment on the basis of somebody. So therefore, how can you say Shavuel? It just means the guy's name, right? Shavuel ben Gershom. Sorry. Okay. So Shavuva El, Lashon Shavuel, Shavuta El, Shekuka El. Now Mahu doesn't make sense. Although some learn it to see Mahu on Mashmul, what would Shmuel said about that? But basically, we can leave it out. I think. Omar Shavuel, Omar Ashipta Lo Amakru, Ashkika Lo Amakru, Karincha Lo Amakru. Again, these are examples of words that had actually been raised in Beit Midrasho. Obviously, you can't go through every word that doesn't mean a shvua. That would be a little inefficient. So we talk about words that there were spakas in the Beis HaMidrash that he passed in. Okay, now, the Ran has a very beautiful approach to this. The Ran says that the Gemara is now concerned by the sudden change in language. In the list of the kinuyim for shvua, it puts in noder b'mui. Now, how in the world would a noder b'mui at the end of the Mishnah be the equivalent of a shavut or shakuka, which is a kinuyim l'shvua, that don't say no there? Why say no there? Just say b'moi. So b'moi would be using Moshe Rabbeinu shvua as a dugma for shmua. So we're using no there. Therefore, comes along the Gemara now to clarify. Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, this is how he learns it. Other Rishonim learn very differently. Reb Shimon ben Gamliel is chelik on the Mishnah. But this is a beautiful chat. Reb Shimon ben Gamliel says, look, ha'omer b'moi, lo merkul. If a guy would say, by Mo, referring to Moshe Rabbeinu, by Mo doesn't mean anything. I mean, it may be like an expletive of some kind, you know, the way they use their God as an expletive. But it certainly is not a lashon of the commitment. If you want to talk about using the dugma of ahatfasa in Moshe Rabbeinu's letter, so then you would have to say b'mumta da'amar mui, with that shvua that Moshe Rabbeinu had made to Yitro, v'yol Moshe l'shevet et ha'ish, which was so important that we found that he almost wasn't going to go down to Mitzrayim because he needed to get a heter. He had to go back to Yisro and ask Yisro's permission because it was a commitment to Yisro not to leave unless he was permitted to leave. So in other words, if he had made that commitment, he would not have gone down to Mitzrayim. Wouldn't have been mechuyev to go down to Mitzrayim, violated Shvuah, just for a little thing like Yitzias Mitzrayim and a Geula and so on. I mean, what's more important, keeping your word? Okay, so we see that that's a powerful commitment by Yoel Moshe. If that's the case, if you say b'mumta de amar muli, so then harei elokim neishua. Therefore, we need to make the word nadar b'muli, because otherwise, what would I say? I would give you the list, and I would say b'muli. So then people would think that meant b'muli. Nishba b'muli. If I were to say nadar b'muli, nishba b'muli would simply have meant that I would say by mo. But you can't make a neder by saying by anything. Because a neder, again, is a reference to a chepet. So what are you going to say? What are you going to say by? Therefore, to clarify that what we're talking about over here is not by mo. We change the word to nadar b'mui, which makes it very clear that you're referring to the vayol motion. You're trying to be matpisit in the lashon that Moshe Rabbeinu had used as vayol motion. So it's not that. Obviously, nadar we often use. We see many times that we use the word neder as a general term, as a rubric for a chiyuvim of lashon, and it includes the dinim of naziris or shvuas and so on. But in a list of kinuyei shvuas, it's absolutely absurd to say nadar b'mui unless you have a good reason. Comes along with Shemeng and Gamliel to have a very good reason, because if I would have just said b'mui, you would have thought that you're saying by mo. If I would have said shvuah b'mui, you would also think I made a shvuah and my expletive, so to speak, is saying by God, I say by mo, and that should be, but it doesn't work. It would only be if you're nadar b'mui. Said, I understand that I'm not using it just as a by, but rather I'm saying my kavona is to be makbisit in the neder of Moshe, which of course was a shvuah, not a neder. So then this is now a shvuah, which is exactly what Moshe Rabbeinu had done. He made a neder. You can't make a neder to commit yourself. You can't make a shvuah to commit yourself. So Vayol Moshe is therefore a lashon shvuah. Great shot. I think it's fine. No? You read the Gemara here, this reminds me of Shemir Trumya. Of course, if you're half asleep and you need to have your tummy punched all the time, then you barely hear it. Okay, shall we begin the Mishnah? You want to give us a brief lecture on some of the linguistic implications? Not now. The same. Is that a bemoi or a no? Okay. Zakhar Eilek Mishnah. Ha'omer lachulin. Now here we're going to examine the nature of implications of language, the negative. So we say lachulin means not fulin. Oh, it's not fulin. Sounds like, well, then I guess it's Kodesh. What I eat by you is sure ain't going to be fulin on me. Okay, so then, or you say, well, it's lo kasher, or lo daki. Now, obviously, that can't mean lo kasher in the sense of it should be chazer. But these are all lashonas of those things which could apply to inyanim of karbanos. This is not kosher, meaning not mutter for me to eat, but otzer, because it's a karban. Or lo daki, it's like an animal which is not tohar, something that has an inability to be otzer because it's not tohar. That's only a karban. Now, what we're going to discuss now, Rich, is our lashonos in which you utilize isurim. And these isurim are not neither the neither. Pigo, nicer, tame, and so on, are not inyanim that are neither the neither. Therefore, you would think that what the guy is thinking about is to answer something as if it's pigo. That wouldn't help, because you can't create pigo with language. Therefore, comes along the mission to say that what you're really talking about is the class of issues to which pigel is applicable. It's like pigel. Means it's like a carbon that I became pigel. It's worse than just a carbon. Obviously, the pigel part is irrelevant to the netter, but the carbon part is relevant. And that still is true. So that it's not dochi, it's not tahor, or somewhere in tahor, actually, you don't have to say it's not tahor. Because tahor can be a reference directly to the Korbanot HaTehorim, as we say, Tor, what I use. In other words, those things in the Beis HaMikdash, we're careful to retain the Torah. That's what I want my Akhila view to be like.
Isn't there a sheet that people daf has to be debuffed al yedei peh?
What?
Isn't there a sheet that when you make something devoted, the people has to be daf al verbally, you have to say it out, no? Like
yeah, but it's not neither than neither. Yeah. That's just the definition of what the pingo is. Yeah. Or tome, or notar, or pingo, even though those things don't really have anything to do with neither than neither, but they're applicable to things that are neither, and therefore they're also. If a guy says it should be like imra, imra is sheep. Imra is usually the way that we talk about the carbonus that are sheep. Because when we're talking in Zvach about various species, so we talk about imra. This is Ki'imra, we're talking about Dirim. Obviously, Dirim could be on some farm somewhere. But Lamaisa, we have Lishka, we talk about the deer in the sense of Korbanas, or Ke'etzim. It could be anybody's fireplace in the Eitzim. That's not what people usually mean. The Eitzim mean, the Eitzim are talking about the Korbanas. Ki'ishim just mean like fires, I mean burning animals. But again, that's generally a reference to Korban. Kemizbeah, that's something that that is similar. That all of these following, Kimizbeach, Kehal, Kirushalayim, are references to Karbonis that are brought on the Mizbeach or Nehekal in Yerushalayim. Others learn that it's a reference to the actual thing, but these things are considered being Nidav and Nidav because they're brought from money that is given Benadavar, Lishkas Argozis, and so on. So things that are given Benadavar are also considered to be Hatfasa. Nadar Biachad, we call Misham Sheham Mizbeach, where you take one of the things that are used on this, one of the Kalim. Alpha Bishalois Kir Korban, Areza Nadar Bekorban. It's the equivalent of a netter and a korban. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, HaOmer Yerushalayim Lo Amar Klum. We're going to see, Rabbi Yehuda is not arguing. Rabbi Yehuda is just saying, in all of the above cases, you have to make it similar to. Otherwise, it becomes an expletive. So it's a Yerushalayim. You're not saying Ki Yerushalayim. Right? So that would be like saying, oh, by Jerusalem. But that's not a lashon of a netter or anything. You can say anything. So maybe in your mind, you know, that's something that is holy, but it's nothing to be matkes on. It's not a lashon and neder shua. So he's coming to say what we talked about: ki Yerushalayim, ki that yes, but not just the word. The word may be a holy word to you, but it doesn't have any implications of kinuyim for atvasa. I had this behind the mic. See that. Home konim kone kone sarei lukinuim le korban chere 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 farei lukinuim le cherem naziach naziach paziach harei lukinuim le nazirus shvut ashkuka or noder b'moi harei lukinuim le shvua itma kinuim Rabbi Yochanan omer lashon umotin which remain lakishem lashon shabadulam chachamim liot noder bo v'chenu omer b'chodesh asher bada milibo the time of itzkinu rabbanu kinuim the lo lema korban what's wrong with saying korban lema korban. No, Dilmamba Korban Lashem. So, what's wrong with that? Lema Korban Lashem. Because Dilmamba Lashem, Velo Amar Korban, Vekamafik Shem Shemayim, Levatala, Vetani Rabbi Shimon Omer, Minayin Shiloyu Mar Adam Lashem Ola, Lashem Incha, Lashem Toda, Lashem Shlamim, Talmud Lomar Korban Lashem, Vekavach Omer, Umazze Shlamit Kabin Elash, Tishem Shemayim Ala Korban, Amra Torah Korban Lashem, Levatala, Alachat Kama Vekama. In any event, shall we Lema Kitanoi? My love, and therefore, further degeneration is also included in Lashon Umot, if people understand what it means. And since there's a specific list of acceptable terms in this constructed language, these aren't included. Love. The Kuleyama Kinuyim, perhaps, or Lashon Umot. Beit Shammai Savri Ba'ani Nami Mishtai Umot, and this degeneration is included in the dictionary. Beit Yilal Savri Ba'ani Lo Mishtai Umot. So that, again, as the Rosh puts it, it's a function of distance from the center of the language. We often find that you have these weird breakdowns that occur when people are far away from the center of a language. So these are basically breakdowns, and it's not considered to be Mishtai Umot. That's one approach. Maybe, by then we could try the other approach, that Beit Shammai Savri Gazrin and Kinuyim Kinuyim Mishum Kinuyim, but they're not indeed included in Kinuyim, which may be Lashet Shabbat Olam Chachomim. Ubeit Yilel Savar, Lo Gazrin and Kinuyim Kinuyim Mishum Kinuyim. Hechi Domi Kinuyim Kinuyim Dinadarim, Tanar Rav Yosef, Mekanmana, Mekanchana, Mekanzana. Hechi Domi Kinuyim Kinuyim Dinadarim, Tanim Afshah, Charakim, charakim, charafim. Tinuyekinim de Nazirus, Tony Rav Yosef, Mahaskanam, Anaskanam, Mafekna, Iboilo, Mipachzanamai, Mitchazanamai, Mitazanamai, Omlevin Ravashi, how about Kinamamai? Is that Kinama a lotion of Konim, or Kinama is a lotion of cinnamon? Kamakinamon, Bosan, Kama. Omle Ravashi, Berede Rukhila Ravashi, Kinamai, I mean, it could be Kina Shotanagolim, Kama. Odema lotion Konim, Tibor. Kinuyim, kinuyim, di shvu epidami shivu el shivu ti el shakuka shivu el. Shivu el is the name of a person, shvu ben Gershom, mashma. Elo, shivu va el shivu ti el shakuka el. Omar shvu, omar ashipta lo amar klum, ashkika lo amar klum, karincha lo amar klum, noda bimui, are elu kinuyim. Tenu shubing am lel mer, ha omar bimui lo amar klum, bimumta di amar mui, are elu kinuyim le shvu a. Omer lachulin she'ochalach, lo kasher, lo dachi, or perhaps lo tahor, again, as I said, it's a machlokas, or tahor, vitamei, notar pigo, ot, ki imra, ki dirim, ki etzim, ki ishim, ki mizbeach, ki echal, ki Yerushalayim, or notar beach, and nikom esham, she mizbeach, alpha bishol, iskir korban, in all these cases, areze, notar be korban. Rabbi Yudah Omer, Yerushalayim, lo amar klum.